Hello and welcome to Mimi UU. I'm Mimi Nicklin, the host of the show. This podcast is anonymous and it's audio only, without names, to protect from unconscious bias or judgment and to allow true empathy to grow. The goal of the show is to share diverse stories from around the world by giving people a platform to share openly so that other people, like you, can understand diverse realities from around the globe. We exist to create empathy and not just talk about it. Welcome to Mimi UU. The amazing thing about this show is that the more stories we tell, the more of you come forward to tell those stories. And we are creating a platform where people from all over the planet can enable more empathy, more listening, more understanding by sharing the stories of communities and towns and people from all around the world. It can be quite overwhelming as the host to hear about the violence, the instability, the lack of peace that is going on all around our world. But we created this platform to ensure that we don't just talk about empathy, but that we give you the chance to practice it by hearing those exact stories. Today's guest is no different. She joins us from Cameroon, where she talks about the crisis that has been going on for over 7 years there and has displaced hundreds of thousands of people and seen many lives lost. She talks about daily life for women and children, for fathers and sons, as they face continuing conflict, violence and oppression across much of the country. Before we start today, I just want to confirm with my guests that we will keep your identity anonymous unless you choose to reveal it. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Wonderful. So let me ask you at the very beginning of this, when we invited you to join us here on Mimi UU, why did you say yes? Why did you want to join us today and share your story?
I just wanted to share what we in Cameroon are going through, the Anglophone crisis, how it has affected us. And what we want is peace and we want solutions. We are looking for a way women can contribute their voices, or youths or anybody can contribute their voices to bring an end to this problem. It's a problem that needs to be solved and requires urgent or immediate measures. The people have gone through a lot and they've suffered a lot. So it's time our voices are heard and solutions brought to the table.
What an incredibly strong way to start this discussion. And I couldn't resonate more than your comment there around we want peace. And I hope for all of us that we find it. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here and to hear from you sharing your story. Tell me a little bit about your daily life as a woman living in Cameroon, facing the conflict as it is all around you today. Tell us a little bit about your daily life. What do you do? How do you live? Let us imagine for a moment your own perspective and how you live.
You see, Mimi, I'm an engineer in town planning, and I run an organization, Hand in Hand Cameroon, born because we wanted to solve some of these problems or the problems of some of these people affected by the crisis. So as an engineer, I mostly work within communities, roadworks, community development projects, and the rest. So I'm bound to go out daily to work and come back. And most of the times, because Cameroon is still developing, we get into the bushes just because we want to exercise our functions. For example, we go into maybe forests, maybe for land issues, maybe for planning of new towns, planning of communities and the rest. You have to go on site for visibility studies and the rest. But at times we cannot do this because when you get there, you face some of the separatists and your life is at stake. That's one thing that breaks us, because we are not, we don't have the freedom to work, to carry out our functions freely. You can imagine I leave my home and I'm going to work. I'm not sure of coming back home. And I'm not sure that the children I left behind, I will still meet them intact or meet them without them being harmed. At times I go out in fear. It's been almost 2 months or three now where some of my colleagues went out to work and unfortunately they don't return. There were six of them and they were gruesomely murdered in the bushes while carrying out their civic functions as a civil servant. They were dumped in a hole. They were murdered, dumped in a hole. Yeah, their families were unable to see them for years. The government tried on its part to look for them, but to no avail. You see, these people who were killed, they are the breadwinners of their families. Because they've been murdered, what happens to their families? What happens to their parents if they were the ones taking care of their old parents? What happens to their sisters if the responsibility of taking care of their siblings lies on their shoulders? What will happen to the future of these ones? They are definitely going to be frustrated, won't want to put food on their table because their primary caregiver has been murdered in cold blood. We face this. I face this on a daily basis. I go to work with fear. I cannot even go out confidently and say that I will return confidently. Our faith lies in the hands of God. No one can protect us except Him, because you're not safe. We are not safe. Even I am not safe. There is, when you go out, you just pray that, Father, let me come back to meet my family intact. Keep me that I may come back safe, or I may come back alive, because there is no guarantee. You don't know who is in the bush waiting for you. You could even be gunned down, maybe by a mistake. You know, things like that. Six of our colleagues lost their lives just like that. They left in the morning, dressed up, went to work, and they didn't return. For 2 years, the government was looking for them. The military was deployed into the bushes, but they couldn't find them. Until finally, somebody gave a headway. I only watched on TV how a guy was talking about the group being responsible for what had happened to them. And when I showed where the colleagues were buried, they were dug out from a hole. They were already decomposing, and only their bones were brought back to the family. You can imagine the level of pain the families went through. What about us, the colleagues? We felt like, is this it? Is this really it? What's next? What's the future for Cameroon? What does it hold? What do we do? It is time peace gains grounds in Cameroon. Let's give peace a chance. Let's let go and let peace reign. That's the message, dear Mimi. Let peace reign. We are tired of it.
Yeah.
We are tired of it.
I am tired of it on your behalf. Just hearing you and your story and the way you are being forced to live your life without safety, without peace, without any guarantee that you can just go to work and come home and that you can continue to be a mother to your children. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that means for those people that are not aware of what's happening in Cameroon? Can you share us your daily reality so people understand what's going on?
Yes, please. Thank you so much. Cameroon has been through years. This is 7 years of going through the Anglophone crisis. And I'm here today to talk about the untold stories of the Anglophone crisis, the suffering of the people. You see, the Anglophone crisis started way back 2016. So I'll just tell you who the Anglophones are. Anglophone Cameroonians are hardworking people. and their main economic activities in the two regions is agriculture. They farm coffee, banana, cocoa, especially banana, which is quite renowned in the local and international market. But since 2016, when the crisis started, a lot has happened. You see, it started with a protest because of the way the government was managing affairs in the English-speaking regions. It started with the protests of the teachers and the lawyers. They all protested about the appointments of the government of French-speaking teachers and French-speaking lawyers in the Anglophone schools and Anglophone courts. And this transitioned into a bloody armed conflict, which we now witness today. You see, when the government deployed militaries just to try to calm the situation. Unfortunately, the military, when they got into it, it became something else. It rather escalated. Issues became worse. The people were forced to run into the bushes each time there is a gunshot, because you never can tell who is putting up the gun. It could be the military, it could be the separatist fighters. Children and women were the most affected. Schools were shut down, and they all ran into the bushes. You could find pregnant women, teenage girls, running into the bushes, staying and living with animals, as though we are all animals. Yes, we are all animals, but we are a more advanced species. It shouldn't be in this 21st century that we should live in bushes, but it is as a it's what we are going through, and there is no way out. So the people had to resort to living in bushes. Schools stopped till date. About 19% of primary schools remained closed. You see, it's something that has really touched the people. This increase in school dropouts yearly has led to increased crime wave. Some industries like the Cameroon Development Cooperative, like I said before, these regions are well known for agriculture. You see, some of these companies were partially closed down, and they are major companies or parastatal companies that employed close to 10,000 people. And if they are partially closed down, found in these English-speaking regions, that means a drastic food insecurity problem and increased hunger. So you find the people becoming more and more vulnerable, and they are looking for a way out. I, for one, I live in the Southwest region, which is one of the affected regions of the Anglophone crisis. You see, according to the CAFU Institute, the CAFU Institute policy, it is estimated that 60,000 refugees and 900,000 internally displaced persons have been recorded within the national territory. A lot of manpower has been lost. Cameroon is losing its own. Whether the separatist fighters or the military, they are all sons and daughters of Cameroon. What we want is peace. What we need is peace. But worst of all, there are some people who pretend that they want peace, yet they don't want it really, because they are the ones fueling the Anglophone crisis. So it is important that peace is brought to the table. Many people have been displaced into the city centers, like the city of Douala, the city of Bafoussam, the city of Yaoundé, the city of Limbé. Boya has been flooded. So many people, because of these people, because they are into the city centers, a place where they cannot meet up to the standard of living of the different centers. So you realize that the people are faced with a lot of problems. There is increased crime wave in the city centers, high rate of prostitution, abortion, and banditry. You cannot blame them, because they are running into the city centers in search of security, in search of education, in search of food, in search of shelter. These are some of the basic necessities or requirements of a human being. When they get into the city centers and faced with all these problems, they have to definitely look for a way to support themselves, which is not easy. Many women and children have lost their primary caregivers, which are their husbands. And because of this, they don't have anybody to take care of them. It is normal here to find people living under trees, to find people living in caves, to find people living in abandoned buildings. Why? Because they run away from the suburbs, from the crisis-affected areas, into the city centers, because they are looking for these basic human needs or necessities. I tell you, dear Mimi, it's been, I don't know how to explain it, but the untold sufferings are too much. And we pray that the world hears our voice and come to the rescue of Cameroon. We need peace in Cameroon. We need to enjoy what we used to enjoy in the days before the 2016 crisis. To date, there is no way out. At times, we feel like the situation is under control, but before you know it, you hear of deaths here and deaths there. Who is losing? Cameroon is losing. Cameroon is losing its strongmen. Cameroon is losing its workforce. Cameroon is losing in terms of the gross domestic product. The Cameroon is losing in every area. Cameroon is losing its labor force. Where are we going to? What is the way out? I'm saying that we need to dialogue. Let the international communities come as mediators. A sincere and frank dialogue is what is required. We need dialogue. Let the separatists drop down their guns. The issues of ghost towns every Mondays at times is not really helping to solve the situation. I understand that the people are heavy, but sometimes the actions the fighters too is not helping issues. The government on its part trying to deploy more militaries into the English-speaking regions is not also helping matters. Rather, it's helping to escalate the situation, the crisis. The people are suffering. Our children they've now become too used to the sound of a gun, which to me is not normal. You find a child making playful expressions of how a gun sounds. It's not normal to me. Yeah. It touches my heart. It breaks my emotions to see what the younger generation, how they are growing up and what they already have in mind. It was rare in our days to hear the sound of a gun. We heard it on TV, but it's happening here in Cameroon. I pray that God help us. God will help us, and those who are perpetrating the crisis, they be brought to book. They be brought to justice. I know that God is definitely seeing what each and every one of us is doing, and anyone perpetrating the crisis, He is also saying, "I will bring that person to book."
I want to just ask you to help me understand a little bit about what they're fighting for. So I can only imagine the horrors that you are living within, and you have my deepest empathy and sympathy for what you're living through. Tell me, what are they fighting for? What do these men that are coming to the streets with their guns, what do they want?
They are asking for a separate country. That is the Southern Cameroons and La Republique de Cameroon. You know, it's like two states that formally came together through a unification and became one country. But with time, so many things have changed. And the Anglophone speaking section, which was formerly known as Southern Cameroons, are claiming that the name La Republique de Cameroon, which is the present name of Cameroon, is not what was agreed on before independence or before reunification. So you see, they want a separate state, a separate government of control, where they can control their own affairs, control their own resources, control their own things. They feel like they've been totally absorbed by La Republique de Cameroon. And the French-speaking government is taking over governance in this part of the English-speaking side, which is not right. If you look critically, you see that most institutions in the English-speaking regions are being managed by French speakers. Sometimes when you speak English, it's like you see somebody, the issue of hate speech comes in. And that's one thing that has really driven the Anglophone crisis, hate speech. Because you tell some, you enter an office, you speak in English, you see somebody will tell you, je ne comprends pas, I don't understand. That is what it means. Of which we are in a bilingual country, and each citizen is supposed to understand, read, and write English and French. It's like English has now become a second language, of which it's not supposed to be so. It has equal grounds. The issue of language is also one thing that the people are looking at, which is not right. You see, sometimes you enter an office and maybe you drop an application, somebody picks up the application and tells you, I cannot read, or even insults you to say les anglophones là. What does that mean? It means those anglophones, which is a hate speech that's discouraged in our country today. And that is one thing that has fueled the anglophone crisis. So you see...
Sorry, carry on.
Yes, please. So you see, so many things have now come up over time. At first, it was just a protest that government should stop appointing Anglophone French-speaking teachers in the Anglophone regions and English and French-speaking lawyers in the Anglophone courts. Why? Because they have two separate ways of running. They use the common law system in the Anglophone section, of which is not the same in the French-speaking courts. So they cannot apply the system they have in the French-speaking court or in the Anglophone courts. So it began with that simple protest of lawyers and teachers for the government to look into the matter so that English lawyers and English teachers can be sent to the English parts of Cameroon. But that was not the case. And that is what has resulted today. Because after that, the protest became something else. Youth and communities picked up the protest and people began protesting for different things. Some protested for the state of the roads. Some protested for governance. Some protested. You see, even to date, many things are now coming up, which at times it's difficult to really pinpoint or point at a particular thing or a particular subject for protest. Yes, Mimi.
Thank you for sharing. I wanted to make a comment. It feels to me that so many of the crises around the world, including, of course, what you're describing in Cameroon, is being led by hate, as you said, and by a fight for land. And perhaps that's always been the case. Perhaps nearly every war in history has been for land. In your mind, as a Cameroonian and someone who is living on the ground, surrounded by women and children, and of course men who are being caught in the middle, who are suffering, who are hungry and poor and living in bushes, as you said earlier. In your opinion, at what point do you stop fighting for land and let people take the land that they want in order to save our children, our future? How far should the fight carry on in your mind?
To me, land isn't something to fight for. It's a free gift of nature, given by God. You see, our fight for land in the world is what has resulted to what we have today. Too many things are going on, and the only way out is peace. Sometimes you lose so that there can be peace. Sometimes you just let go so that there can be peace. It's not about the land. It's not about who is taking control. Sometimes you just leave things the way they are and try to talk. I believe that dialogue can solve the problem. if somebody is invading your area or your space, I believe that you can dialogue with the person so that you both can come to a consensus and things will be made right.
Mm.
Peace is the only way out.
Do you think that people that are currently in the fight, they are angry, they are violent, they are carrying guns, do you think they have the capacity to listen? Like you said, dialogue is the solution here. Can these, I'm assuming majority men who are fighting, can these men stop to listen to dialogue? What do you think?
Yes, please. Yes, dear Mimi. What the separatists want, severally we've learned from their videos, from maybe comments, from televisions, from other reporting quarters or channels, what do you want, really want? It's real and sincere dialogue. You see, in the case of Cameroon, there's been some level of dialogue, but it's not sincere. What they want is a sincere dialogue where both parties will come together on a common table. The government should not play the ping-pong game where they get the people they want to dialogue with. No, it's an issue of the separatists or everyone having a voice. It is true that everybody cannot be on the same table, but let the separatists choose who to represent them in the dialogue. Because if they choose who to represent them, they will listen to the people they have chosen. But if the government wants to go ahead to choose who will come to the dialogue table, it becomes difficult because they will keep insisting and saying that the people chosen are not the ones they wanted. So mm-hmm. They will not stop. They will not stop because they will definitely not listen to the people the government has chosen, because they believe that the people chosen by the government are those that will speak in the favor of the government and not in their own favor. So the dialogue table is where both parties are brought together. They air out their minds. They say what they want. While on the government side, they say what they want. It is true that it can result to, let's say, some differences or conflicts or quarrels. But in all that, the main objective is to come to a common point. That's why we say it is good that the international community comes in as mediators. Because, you know, if there are two people fighting and there is somebody who is in the middle, will try to bring the both parties to a common center. Because definitely we don't expect both parties to agree immediately, but if there's somebody who is mediating, definitely there will be a common point where both parties will agree or accept and there will be peace. To tell you that it's been 7 whole years. We are talking of emergency in Cameroon by 2035. But I wonder how we are going to meet this, emerging Cameroon emerging by 2035 with the crisis still at hand, 7 years going since 2016 till now. Nothing. At times you feel like some measures have been taken to put things under control, but before you know it, you hear that the separatists have attacked maybe a village and about 10 persons killed. You hear that the military truck was bombed. You hear that the military has attacked maybe the separatists and 10 people, or boys or men, youths, have been killed. But who is losing? It's Cameroon. They are all sons of Cameroon. And Cameroon is the one losing. They are not strangers. They are not from other countries. They are all Cameroonians. Whether separatists, whether military, they are all Cameroonians. The labor force of Cameroon is, Cameroon is losing. That's one thing I want the military or the separatists to understand. It is our dear nation, Cameroon, that is losing. Everything must not end with the conflict. I believe in peace and dialogue. I believe that if we give peace a chance, things will change for the better. Yes, Mimi.
I wonder how we as a global community that are hearing your story today help Cameroon move towards that. So you spoke about mediators or international support to encourage the listening between the two sides of this opinion, this debate, this aggression. In your mind, what can people do that are far away from you today? How can they help if they're listening to you today and they want to support the journey to peace? What can we do?
Yes, is to raise our voices. Just like on the World Pulse platform, it started with this story. And thank you so much, Mimi, for giving me a platform to raise my voice as a woman who feels the pain of my country. So you see, if people around the world can help Cameroon, can help to raise our voices, then they get to the appropriate quarters. Appropriate quarters where decision making can be done, or where dialogue can be brought to the table. It begins with our voices being heard. Mm-hmm. If we keep quiet, nobody will hear us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I feel that message, that same message, is beginning, you know, in a small space of optimism, that the world's understanding of the power of the voice is certainly changing, particularly in recent weeks, in October and November 2023, as we are today. There is another crisis. There are many crises in our world, but another one that is currently happening is the crisis between Israel and Palestine. And there is certainly an understanding of the power of the voice, using our voices to hear each other, to create change, and to open conversations. So I am so optimistic that women leaders like you are raising this message and encouraging other people to do the same, to speak up for peace, but equally to hear both sides of these discussions, these arguments, these disagreements, because as you said, it can lead to conflict short term because we don't agree. But if we don't discuss, we can never empathize. We can never step into the shoes of somebody else or understand their opinion. And as you quite rightly said, we can never make it to peace if we don't first hear each other. So
that's true.
I feel that your last words there are a perfect way to end what is a very harrowing reality, I'm sure, for many people hearing this that perhaps are not seeing enough about the reality. And as you said, using their voices, just not enough people using their voices to help Cameroon find the dialogue, find the ways through these times in order to find peace for everyone. Because as you quite rightly said, in war, there are no winners, right? There are only losers in war, and you are losing your people, your friends, your family, your country. So I want to say thank you for coming and for sharing your story. And I hope that this small platform gives us the opportunity to raise this reality a little bit more for the people listening and for you to share your voice. And of course, there is so much more we can do. The last question I want to ask you is around anonymity. This is an anonymous first show, and many people choose not to reveal their identity. It is entirely up to you whether you would like to remain anonymous or you would like to share your name today.
Yes, please. I would like to share my name. I've been talking of my country, and definitely I'll share my name.
Please go ahead.
So I'm Achiri Constance Epos Mengen from Cameroon, living in the Southwest region, one of the regions affected by the ongoing Anglophone crisis.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you for, I know it's very early where you are. Thank you for waking up today, for sharing your story and the story of all the people you share your beautiful country with. As I said earlier, you have my deepest regret for the realities you're facing. And I too wish for the peace that you are all seeking, for you, for your children, for your future. And I thank you for your time. And absolutely, we will use this platform as widely as we can to share the story that you have shared with me today.
Thank you, Jemimi. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity, the platform to be able to share my story. Thank you, Jemimi. Keep up.
Thank you. And for everyone who's listening, thank you for joining the show today. May you being here be part of our journey to listening to more stories more often from more parts of the world. And Wayne, may we increase our empathy everywhere. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us today on Mimi UU. This episode is one in a series that has been designed to create empathy in our world. If you would like to join us on the show, please click on www.joinmimiuu.com or follow us across social media at Mimi UU Show. I believe that the more the world talks about empathy, the more empathy the world will have. And I hope that this show is the beginning of doing just that.